This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street, or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I am Barry. This is The Voice Within for another week.
This week, Pam Gregory will be telling us all about the new moon, which was a couple of days ago, and what's happening in December.
Hi everyone, Pam Gregory, astrologer. I'm going to be speaking to you today about the first half of December and the new moon that we have coming up in Sagittarius on the 12th. Now, we have lost quite a lot of the sparky, explosive energy that we had through November. We had a hard aspect between Mars and Uranus, and I think we saw how that worked out with, I think it was 22,000 earthquakes in Iceland earlier in the month. So we've had some very, very intense energy. That intensity, to some extent, is easing, and a different quality of energy is coming in now. So the first 4 days of December, we've got a square between Venus and Pluto, late Libra to late Capricorn. And yes, this can bring up some intense relationship issues. It always has the potential for that. Venus, Pluto, intensity around relationship, particularly because Venus is still in Libra at that point, can be around issues of control or jealousy or possessiveness versus wanting more freedom and independence. It can also very much suggest some turbulence in financial markets too, and we have another aspect in a little while between Venus and Jupiter that could suggest that too. The whole volatility around the financial sector is very present at the moment. On the 5th of the month, we have a couple of feisty aspects between Mars being sesquiquadrate Uranus and Mars sesquiquadrate Eris in Aries and Mercury sesquiquadrate Uranus. So they are both pretty feisty energies. They need to speak their truth. They're quite rebellious. Could suggest more truth is coming out, and people really wanting to stand strong in their sovereignty, in their truth and their sovereignty, and being uncompromising. That's always a good watchword for Eris. And Eris, of course, in myth was the warrior sister of Mars. So that sesquiquadrate Mars to Eris is particularly strong. All month, we're going to have a very different energy from that, with a sextile. It's a little bit wide at times, but nevertheless, an operational sextile between Neptune and Pluto, which can actually suggest something quite paranormal, supernatural, as more of us are starting to feel more psychically sensitive. And that's very, very heightened in the first half of December, because Neptune is very prominent. Now, the first important aspect for Neptune is on the 6th of the month, when Neptune becomes stationary direct. And whenever a planet changes direction, in this case, stationary direct, like a huge ship coming to a still spot before it starts to change direction and move off again. So it's drilling down on that same degree point for an extended period, but it also magnifies the symbolism of that planet. So this is at 25 degrees of Pisces. As I say, it's on the 6th of the month. That will colour a week to either side. But we have other strong Neptune transits coming up too. Now, on the less positive side with Neptune transits, that it can suggest complete overwhelm for people. You know, they just can't make sense of anything. They're in a fog. It can suggest confusion, disillusionment in what you believed in. You know, the veil has suddenly been pulled away. That will happen more through 25 and 26 as Neptune leaves Pisces and enters Aries, dissolution of the veil. But in a very positive way, this can be a beautiful expression of Neptune. It's, you know, it's quite subtle, it's quite ethereal, but it's wonderful for your creativity. It heightens your imagination, your intuition, your dreams, for sure. Keep a dream diary. You may want to tune into music more. That's very connected to Neptune, or any kind of art or poetry or anything creative. There's a great sensitivity to vibrations and aesthetics, that kind of thing. And there can be a real yearning. That's very much a Neptune word, a real yearning for a deeper connection to the divine, a deeper sense of spirituality in your life, a sense of oneness, a sense of connecting to source in a bigger way, and really having this overwhelming sense of an unconditional love for all beings. I mean, I really feel that with animals. I've always had a huge heart with animals, but more recently, I mean, my heart is just kind of exploding with my kind of tuning into animals, my care and love for animals, and that feels really special. This connecting us back to all living beings as part of Neptune's role. So it's very ethereal energy, and therefore sometimes it's hard to define or access in a way, but it's very, very important in terms of where we're going, because it's despite its ethereal nature, it's the bedrock of our spirituality, really. So, and it's also, when Neptune is strong, there is this sense of reduced density. You know, we lose a sense of time and space and our own physicality to a large extent. So that's going to be actually very strong through the first half of the month. And we still have Saturn in Pisces until early 2026. That's one of the key messages, is dissolving density, dissolving our density, and also dissolving a sense of separation and division between us. And so that's backing up this magnified Neptune, if you like. But yes, and also idealism. I think we are likely to feel much more idealistic at this time. You know, wow, there has to be a way better way to live our lives than what we're seeing all around us. And indeed there is. We want to move away from lies, deceit, very much the shadow side of Neptune, and injustice. We want to move to this greater sense of interconnectedness of all living beings. It's quite Buddhist, actually, Neptune. So another aspect before we get to the new moon in Sagittarius is on the 7th. We have a beautiful positive aspect between Mercury and Jupiter. And Jupiter is in Taurus and Mercury is in Capricorn. So this is thinking big, expansive thinking, futuristic thinking. But also it's grounded in practicality, because they are both in earth signs. You know, how do we make this real? How do we make it permanent? And this could be around either financial systems, development of some new financial system that's becoming more evident, or new ways of growing food. You know, many inventions around that are entirely natural and organic that are happening. A couple of days later, on the 9th, we have an opposition between Jupiter and Venus. So by then, Venus is in Scorpio. So this is Jupiter, six of Taurus to Venus, six of Scorpio. And Jupiter can expand anything it touches. So Again, if we have intensity in relationships, intensity in love, Venus and Scorpio, Jupiter can magnify that. Any issues around money, Venus, invested money, Jupiter can magnify those. If there are any problems around those, it can magnify them. But it can also expand your wealth. Jupiter, Venus, expand your wealth. So it's going to work in different ways for different people, but it does have the potential to be very positive for us. And then we have the new moon happening on the 12th of December. Now, this is happening at 20 degrees and 40 minutes of Sagittarius. This is actually the fourth new moon in a row out of a row of seven that is happening between 20 and 21 degrees of its sign. And as I've said in previous videos, if you have any planets or angles between 19 to 22 degrees of their sign, they will be caught by this whole string of new moons in these coming months up until kind of March, April time next year. So that can give people who have that a very strong sense of new beginnings, really strong sense of new episodes being birthed, even stronger than average, let's say. So let me share the chart for the new moon with you now. Okay, here we go. So as always, I've set this for England, because this is where I live. And so the sun and moon are always together at a new moon. So sun and moon together here, 20, 40 of Sagittarius. So ignore the clock face, ignore the houses, just look at where the planets are falling in their signs and the aspects they make to each other. So this is happening at 3:32 p.m. Pacific and 11:32 p.m. UK time. Now, with Sagittarius, it's wonderful. It's very expansive. That's the word that instantly comes to mind with Sagittarius. It's very expansive. It's linked to hope and optimism and the future, future visions, adventure, exploration, personal growth opportunities. So very positive in this way. Of course, it can also, because it's ruled by Jupiter, it can also expand whatever is prevailing at the time of this new moon. But generally, it has a very different quality to the Scorpio energy, which is so intense and inward, as we had in November. Very much the sign connected to freedom, connected to the law, and connected to justice. So we may see some new legal initiatives, legal cases coming forth at this time. There are many, many legal cases happening in the background. So several of these may come into prominence at this time. So for you personally, check out where 20 degrees, 40 minutes of Sagittarius falls in your chart. Don't forget to set a new intention. It's like planting a new seed. But seeing where 20 degrees of Sagittarius falls in your house, in which house area in your chart, will help you to set a new intention. Is it money? Is it career? Is it health? What is it? So we have five planets in mutable signs here. We have Neptune and Saturn in Pisces, mutable, and three planets, Sun, Moon, Mars in Sagittarius. Mutable, as I've mentioned last time, is very malleable. It's very chameleon-like, and there's always a sense of we can change things more easily. It's very adaptable. It's very flexible, and this is really a theme I'm going to be picking up a little bit later. Now, continuing the strong Neptune theme, we can see that the new moon is square to Neptune here. 20 of Sagittarius to 24 of Pisces. And this can bring in an echo of everything I've been saying about Neptune. It also, of course, inevitably, Neptune in Pisces is very much linked to water and the seas. And that's a theme I'm going to be coming back to in a little while. But this can help to give us a vision, particularly because it's Sagittarius, it's future-oriented, ruled by Jupiter. a vision of the future that has a spiritual context to it, a spiritual foundation. Whenever we get combinations of either Sagittarius and Pisces or their rulers, Jupiter and Neptune, there's a sense of the mystic coming in and a sense of philanthropy. What can we do to help the common good? Sense of charity. What can we do? Can we send money? Can we give our time? Can we do something practical? Because Jupiter's in Taurus, what can we do to help other people? And that's really beautiful. And I think there's a stronger and stronger sense of that philanthropy coming in right now. That, you know, how can we share? A much greater sense since the last 3 years of how can we help each other? I think there's been a real boomerang effect, actually, with that. I know you'll follow my meaning here. So, and with all that, though, comes a clear sense of spiritual integrity, spiritual discipline, spiritual responsibility, I want to say. You know, this square to Neptune can make us want to get more spirituality in our lives, a stronger spiritual practice, perhaps. And that's very much one of the themes of Saturn in Pisces, to really embed spiritual practice, whether it's breath work or meditation or candle gazing or a walk in nature or whatever it is, to embed that practice in your daily routine. So it's non-negotiable. You know, it's like cleaning your teeth in the morning. It's non-negotiable. I think just also to say that with Saturn in Pisces, just to remind you of that sense of spiritual responsibility, because I think an awful lot of things are kind of pinging around social media now, and really think before you share them or pass them on, is this going to raise the frequency of people who see this, or is it going to lower it? Is it simply indulgence about, you know, the ain't it awful, the terrible things that are happening in the world, or is actually going to help to raise people's frequency? Frequency is everything. Everything. I'm going to be coming back to that too. So, just to note here, and I'm going to be talking about it more next time, but Saturn is conjunct a dwarf planet called, at 4:35 of Pisces, called, it's spelt Gongun, but it's pronounced apparently Gongkun. Talked about Gongkun before. It's got a 551-year orbit, almost like Eris, very, very slow, linked to a Chinese god who was said to, in frustration at not getting the throne, strike his head against the Buzu Mountain. And as a result, he actually tilted the land and tilted the sky. He is associated with flooding, as is Pisces potentially, but also he ultimately became responsible for the management of flooding in the myth. So he has a very positive side in that way. Going to be talking more about Gongong's conjunction to Saturn next time. But I haven't written it on the chart, but remember that I talked about it last time. Saturn is also conjunct a fixed royal star of Persia called Fomalhaut. And Fomalhaut, remember, fixed stars only move a degree every 72 years. So they're with us for a lifetime, really. And Fomalhaut is linked to Archangel Gabriel, very much known as the spiritual teacher. So we have some beautiful spiritual archetypes and symbolism at this new moon. Also to say, actually, that Gongkun is also linked to dragon and serpent energy. I think we're going to see a lot more going forwards about dragon energy, serpent energy, because apparently that kind of energy is being awakened right now to help us in our spiritual ascension. So there is a sense here of lifting our vision, lifting Sagittarius, our future vision, to a higher purpose, to a greater sense of spirituality, a greater sense of devotion. We may be drawn more to sacred places. We're more sensitive to energy. We have this remembrance of telepathy and healing and, as I say, connectedness to all living beings, which is really beautiful. And what helps us through this, I haven't written it in here because, you know, I've written it in several recent videos because it's ongoing, but Neptune is actually square to the galactic center, which is down here at 27 of Sagittarius, and also the dwarf planet Varda at 26 of Sagittarius. And that square continues all of next year. Varda was the dwarf planet that helped to create the cosmos originally. Brilliant symbol for New Earth, that she can again birth the New Earth, the new vision, the new cosmos. Mercury here is stationary. So as always, when planets are stationary, Mercury is actually going stationary retrograde here. That principle is strengthened. Just to say that Mercury will turn direct on the 1st of January next year, which is very positive, actually, because there's a, you know, sense of surging forwards. And by then, every planet will be direct, apart from Uranus, which goes direct later in January. I think it's the 27th of January. So Mercury is in this positive trine to Jupiter. This is really what I was talking about before, but it's strengthened because it's at the new moon, and it's strengthened because Mercury is now stationary. So this is bringing in those future visions that could be linked to finance, financial systems, but also the earth, growing food, etc. And what strengthens Mercury further is it is conjunct to a dwarf planet called Quawa. Now, I've talked about Quawa several times before, creator, god, linked to the Tongva people who lived originally around the Los Angeles basin. And Quawa is said to bring order out of chaos, and we could do with a bit of that. And Quawa will always help to bring people together in community, to sing and dance, and from the joy that that brings, then set an intention from which to create. So you never create from chaos, you always create from joy. And Quawa, I think, is also very linked to the spirit world, the elementals, the fairies, etc. And again, I think that world, with our, again, reducing sense of density as we dissolve our density, we're going to see more of that as individuals. We're going to notice the elementals. We're going to notice the dragons with Gong Kun. And in a recent video, I mentioned Jill Bolte Taylor, who had a very severe stroke in the left side of her brain, but that released the right side of her brain to really experience nirvana. And increasingly, that's where we are going, to become much more right-brained. We've been very much trained, particularly in the West, in terms of being left-brained, logical, analytical. That's dissolving, along with linear time. Again, Saturn in Pisces. Saturn, linear time being dissolved in Pisces. So that's very strong. Now, what is of interest as well, actually, is that this new moon at 2040 of Sagittarius is actually conjunct the Mercury of the Euro chart. The Euro as a currency was set up on the 1st of January 1999, at 1 minute past midnight in Brussels. Mercury in that chart of the Euro, the birth of the Euro, is the chart ruler, because it rules the ascendant at 29 degrees of Virgo, and also the midheaven ruler, because that's at 29 degrees of Gemini in the chart of the Euro. And Mercury rules both of those signs. So the ascendant, even in a country's chart, is the identity, how it's seen, and the midheaven is its status, its reputation in the world. And it's interesting that not only is this new moon conjunct the chart ruler and the midheaven ruler of that Euro chart, but if we look down the timeline, through 2024, and we're not far off that now. Neptune, transiting Neptune, is going to come to 29 degrees of Pisces, so it will be opposing the ascendant and squaring the midheaven of that chart representing the birth of the euro. Now, that suggests that there could be some weakening or dissolving of the euro currency. That's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a lot of change with euro currencies and their relative wealth value. But wasn't it interesting that the full moon we've just had in Gemini, 4 degrees of Gemini, the moon there was conjunct the south node of the chart for the EU, the birth of the EU, that whole collective of countries. So that suggests, again, you know, that's the collective past actions of the EU under the bright light of the full moon that we've just had at the end of November, coming 27th of November, coming to light in some way. So something definitely happening that's very big changes around the euro and the EU in the coming months. And also, of course, massive changes happening as in America, as I've spoken about many, many times. Now, other things of note is that the new moon, the sun and moon are conjunct Mars widely, it's about 7 degrees, but nevertheless conjunct. And Mars in Sagittarius, I always think of the crusader, you know, somebody getting on a horse and just charging into battle because of their beliefs. So Mars in Sagittarius is very vigorous and enthusiastic, can be quite opinionated, quite dogmatic about beliefs. And there can even be a kind of religious fundamentalism around this, a religious zeal, which is kind of tipping the apple cart. But coming back to some very positive aspects, the sun and moon are trine to Eris at 24 of Aries and the North Node at 21. So this is giving ease and flow to all that Eris and the North Node in Aries are about. Aries, sovereignty, truth, individual power, individual rights, justice, fairer society with Eris. So this is more of a beneficial flow, an energetic, because it's Sagittarius, an energetic but beneficial flow to make those energies manifest in society, the shift towards a fairer society. The other thing I'd really like to point out, I'm going to go on one of my rambles here, I think, but I haven't fully downloaded where I'm going with this, but nevertheless, you can have some sort of, I'm going to share some embryonic thoughts about this. So, sun and moon here are tightly conjunct, this green line here, to Uranus, planet Uranus at almost 20 degrees of Taurus. And so this is a quincunx. Now, Uranus, as you well know, is linked to galactic beings and news. Think of galactic, you know, we are galactic beings. We're made of stardust. We're not 100% human from the Earth. We've been all over the place. So think of the galactic beings, whether it's the Arcturians or the blue light Sirians or the Andromedans or whatever. Are they merely aspects of our future selves? Maybe even our past selves, but certainly our higher self, I think. So they are overwhelmingly beneficial for us in our evolution. And I think they are helping us as much as they can. So Uranus connected to that, connected to awakening, suddenly seeing the light and seeing things in a very different way. Also connected is the planet linked to electromagnetism. Now, that's electromagnetism in various forms, because, of course, we can have man-made electromagnetic frequencies that are not helpful for our bodies, you know, Wi-Fi and, you know, all of those electromagnetic frequencies that kind of are not sympathetic to our coherence, our natural organic electromagnetic fields. But it can also represent very much the natural electromagnetism that's happening all over the cosmos, because it is. I mean, we are essentially electromagnetic beings, and there is just overwhelming amounts of data on that. I'm going to stop sharing here. So I just want to really talk and perhaps ramble a little bit, because we know that thoughts are electrical impulses, and the emotions that that thought produces are magnetic waves. Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about this a lot in his work, whether those emotions are joy, love, or anger, whatever. There's a link between the thought and the emotion, and they produce a kind of set point, a frequency output from us, the electromagnetic wave, which not only affects us and every cell in our body, but we're beaming out, we're broadcasting out to the world, to the collective, and all around us. So we are essentially electromagnetic beings. Now, we're going to be hearing an awful lot more about this principle of electromagnetism and frequency as we go forwards. And the reason for that, the two principal reasons as we go into 2024, Uranus rules the sign of Aquarius. And you think the two jaggedy lines in the glyph of Aquarius. Pluto is re-entering Aquarius in January. It will spend 9 months of 2024 in Aquarius, but essentially it's the beginning of a 21-year transit in Aquarius for Pluto. And Pluto will always intensify, that word we've used so many times, will always intensify the symbolism of the sign it's moving through. Uranus, as I say, rules Aquarius, so it's very linked to frequencies, electromagnetism, galactic information, beings of all kinds. But there is absolutely no doubt that we are electromagnetic beings, and that can even be measured on the machinery escapes me right now, but I've mentioned it in the past, and it can actually measure your frequency. And of course, the more electrical charge we have in a natural positive way, generally the healthier we are, because it means that our mitochondria, these tiny little kind of power batteries in our cells, are working very fully and very positively for us. But we know from Professor Robert Temple's work, who is an expert on plasma, that everything around us in the cosmos is not only plasma, but this is electromagnetically charged divine consciousness and divine intelligence. So we as little individual human beings with our own electromagnetic field are constantly 24/7, we're unconscious of it most of the time, but 24/7 we are interacting with this greater crystalline plasma, which is electromagnetically charged divine consciousness and divine intelligence. There's a constant free flow. Now, in my conversation on my channel with Vada, and I know she's mentioned it in other interviews as well, she sees water as God consciousness, which is just beautiful. She's really advancing our understanding of consciousness. And she also sees us as human beings merely in the flow, that we ingest water, we digest it through our system, we excrete water, and on it goes through other human beings. It's the great interconnector all over the world. And therefore, we need to be much more conscious, I think, and aware of our relationship with water. And Vada's work is extraordinarily beautiful and detailed in this regard, because we know both from Masaru Emoto's work and from Vada's that that we are constantly imprinting water. It's super sensitive to being imprinted with our thinking and our emotion. Veda literally has thousands of photographs of water crystals that demonstrate this. And recently I heard her say that she was having a conversation on the phone with someone about the infinity symbol. And as she came off the phone, she suddenly had an instinct to make a water crystal of her saliva. So she put some of her saliva in the petri dish, froze it, and hey presto, the infinity symbol, the figure eight, appeared very clearly in the water crystal. So water is being imprinted by our last thought, if you like, our last feeling or our last thought. That's pretty profound, because it says that the water, God consciousness, is constantly reading where you're at. So if you go on a bit of a gloom and doom, big scary thing, now I'm now in fear, that's going to be imprinted on every cell in your body, but it's also what you're going to be excreting out to the collective, as well as beaming it out by your toroidal field. This is huge, I think, in terms of our spiritual responsibility and awareness. I think that that one thing that Veda said has really hit me very hard in terms of how powerful we are as co-creators, but how responsible and wise and conscious we need to be in our relationship with water. Every moment, 24/7, we are imprinting every cell in our body. And as Veda says, by molecular count, we are 99% water. We are 99% God consciousness, interacting with the larger God consciousness out there. I think this is huge. And I've still got L plates on with all of this, because I think there's something massive here for us to understand about the creation of reality. I've been going down a lot of rabbit holes with this. Now, as Veda has said as well, we think the air all around us is just air. But as she's wisely pointed out, it has tiny water droplets in it. It has moisture in the air. So water takes different forms. It's in the air as water droplets. It's obviously liquid that we drink. It can be ice. It can be crystals. And there's a fourth phase of water, which Dr. Gerard Pollack has written a whole book about, called EZ water. And this is a kind of gel that you see in plants and vegetables. It's kind of a more concentrated form of water. So water can take many forms in its God consciousness, if you like. And because we know that our density is reducing, because we're moving to the light body, with everything I've said in so many videos about this, and also in that very recent video where I shared the experience of Jill Balte Taylor, who'd had a stroke in her left brain. And, you know, if you haven't seen it, I'll put the link below again, because it's a 20-minute TED talk, which is really beautiful, you know, emotional, powerful. And so, therefore, she was left in free flow, if you like, with her right brain to experience nirvana. And this is where we're headed. We've been very much taught to live in our left brain with logic and analysis and linear time. We are shifting more and more to our right brain of connection to all living beings. And indeed, in other videos, I've heard Jill talk about when she was having her stroke, she lost a sense of separateness. You know, she was no longer, you know, had a boundary of the skin where she was a separate body. She was just free flowing with the walls and the stairs and everything. She saw herself simply as vibrating energy, which is very much how I experienced myself in healing sessions. So all of that says that as we move forwards and we move towards the light body, we are becoming much more malleable in our own sense of being, but more malleable in how we see our reality. You know, so much. If we are in fear, we are in contraction, we're watching the nightly news, we think there's one all-prevailing, inescapable, scary reality, and there absolutely isn't. Because the future is a blank slate. We think it's all set out, you know, step by step. Nuh-uh. It's a blank slate. There is a, you know, a floating plan for that. But we are powerful co-creators. And when we come together in high frequency, and that's why my very simple 15-minute meditation on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. UK time, that's what that's about, and many other people are doing this kind of thing, is to shift our frequency. Because if we can shift our frequency to joy, to love, to peace, to compassion, that higher frequency is everything in where we're going, has a more powerful effect on the lower frequency because of the law of physics of downward causation. We have a greater effect. So a smaller number of us can change our future reality. And we are, by the way, we've created a higher timeline simply by our consciousness. Those of us who are working very diligently on this, and it's becoming stronger by the day. And, you know, I'm reminded of the wonderful, brilliant cosmologist, Dr. Jude Curravan. I've mentioned this before. She's very psychic and she's been psychic since childhood. And she has visions of, you know, this energetic architecture of light, which when we're being very positive and coherent in our energy and our frequency, that we create this architecture that comes to, and she can see it kind of flickering and sputtering, and then a big scary thing might come into the collective, and you know the geometry of light kind of disintegrates until we come together again in a big meditation that takes stronger form of light. This is what we're doing. Every time we come together, we build stronger bricks and mortar, if you like, stronger foundation, stronger architecture for new earth. This is what we're doing with our frequency. We are working with the invisible. I know it's really, really, really hard to get our heads around because our lives have been so tangible. But this is where we're going. And it's interesting, the Buddhist author Paul Levy, who is also very much enmeshed in quantum physics, talks about our reality is actually more like lucid dreaming. Now, some people have experienced lucid dreaming where they're aware that they're dreaming and they can actually direct the dream. And Paul Levy says this is much more akin to what's happening in our own reality. Once we become more conscious, we can start to direct our dream, direct our day-to-day reality in a more powerful way. So, therefore, what we are doing, because everything is connected, you know, Professor Robert Temple talks about the whole cosmos is one consciousness. It's one consciousness. It's one spectrum of density, let's say. And therefore, those of us working diligently on this creation of new earth and raising the frequency are inevitably affecting the whole. We can't not affect the whole because everything is connected. Everyone is connected because it's one consciousness. So we're not separate. We never have been. And this raising of frequency is absolutely crucial in accelerating the arrival, the manifestation of new earth for more of us. I mean, it's already there as a level of consciousness. It's not a place, it's a consciousness. But if we feel stuck in fear, stuck in anger, stuck in hate, stuck in separation, stuck in, oh my God, you know, X, Y, Z is really going to happen, we are really not only acting as a ball and chain for what could be magnificent for us all, but giving life force, giving a life support system to what you absolutely do not want more of. And I'm sorry I'm banging on about this and being repetitive, but it's so vital in terms of where we're going, because Pluto in Aquarius is going to go two ways. It's going to go two ways that we are either masters of our frequency, masters of our thinking and our emotion and our destiny, or not. And as Pluto is about to re-enter Aquarius on the 20th of January, we've got to get into a routine of being super conscious, super aware, super wise of how we are using our thinking and our emotion. Because if we can get into these positive states, we can bubble wrap ourselves from the worst excesses of what we think is going to come. And that isn't a selfish thing at all. That is the most helpful thing we can possibly do for the collective. Otherwise, we're back in the hamster wheel of horrors, as I've talked about many times, round and round the hamster wheel. War, death, poverty, misery. We've got to create. We've got to step into who we are really meant to become, what our dharma is as powerful co-creators. And in that way, we alter the quantum wave structure for the entire collective. So a couple of years ago, I talked about lock onto love as a docking station. Lock onto love. And I really, really encourage you at this time, because the 3D is going to get crazy. I mean, just know that. The 3D is going to get crazy because it's collapsing. Things are going to be happening very fast next year, both in a very positive way and in a challenging way at the 3D level. But we don't have to live at that level. But as things collapse, systems don't work, you know, there are breakdowns happening in society, it's going to get more difficult. But don't make that your focus. Put your focus on and attention on what you want to create. So what this requires is our discipline, our spiritual discipline. Yes, our focus. Yes, our attention and our consistency. I really want to say our consistency because, yeah, all of us to some degree wobble a tiny bit. You know, I'm sent 10 tons of stuff every day that people think I should see. And if it's, you know, if it takes me into a lower frequency, I'll just stop watching. I don't want to go there. Whatever information is in there, I don't want to go because frequency is everything. Frequency is foundational. Frequency is fundamental. And I'm in the business of creating something magnificent to help us all, as millions of you are. So because we have to create more coherence in our energy focus, coherence comes from consistent practice, in order to create more stability in that architecture of light that we're creating for New Earth. So starve out the scary. I said this a while back as well. Starve out the scary, love in the good, lock on to love, and absolutely do everything you can to create something loving, abundant, compassionate, joyful, peaceful, and magnificent for us all. And you can do that for free, at home, anytime, all day, simply by observing your frequency. Stick post-it notes all over the house, kitchen, cupboards, bathroom mirror. What's your frequency? What are you focused on? Where's your attention going? So I know I've said many of those things before, but I'm putting them, I hope every time I talk about them, I'm adding more information into them to not only help me sort out my framework, but to help you too, to in this incredibly unique evolutionary opportunity to absolutely optimize it for humanity. I hope that's helped. A lot in there today. Going to be having some interesting conversations going forwards in the next month or two. So God bless for now. If you'd like more information about my books, videos, long newsletter, just go to pamgregory.com. Have a wonderful December. And I'll be saying this again in the next video, but just thank you just from the bottom of my heart for all your love, all your comments, all your caring or you're sharing or your everything you do, because I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you. So really feel very connected to you, my family of frequency. Lots of love. Bye for now.
Jonathan Goldman in Quiet Space, that one. Now, Patricia Coda Robles is going to be asking us, when will we see progress?
This week, we're going to explore the progress we are making in improving the quality of our individual and collective lives. There are very dedicated people who have been invoking the light of God for decades, and yet outer world appearances do not reflect their heartfelt efforts. In fact, in many instances, things seem to be getting even worse, which I know is incredibly disheartening. As a word of encouragement, I want you to know that the beings of light assure us that things are not getting worse. On the contrary, they say that we are succeeding beyond the greatest expectations of heaven. The reason things seem to not be progressing is because of our limited perception and the fact that we are not seeing the bigger picture. Hopefully, today's vlog will help to solve that problem. One of the most important things for us to remember is that we are multidimensional beings functioning in several realms of consciousness simultaneously. Our invocations and our prayers and meditations are first formed in the realms of cause, where everything begins. Then they are magnetized through various dimensions of consciousness into the physical plane of Earth, which is known as the world of effects. Even though we think of the physical plane as being very real, it is actually the least real of all of the realms of consciousness we abide in. And it is the very last dimension to reflect the changes that we are invoking. When we invoke the light of God without seeing the results in the outer world that we would like to see, it gives us the impression that our invocations and meditations are not working and that our prayers are not being answered. But that is never the case. The light of God responds to our invocations and meditations each and every time we participate in these activities. And our prayers are always heard, and they are always answered. And remember, if before we begin our invocations, meditations, and prayers, we affirm, I am my I Am Presence, and I am one with the I Am Presence of all humanity, our efforts will expand exponentially, and we will invoke the light of God into the lives of 7.5 billion people evolving on this planet. The moment we invoke the light of God, in any way, a matrix for the thought form we want to co-create begins forming in the realms of cause. Each time we repeat our invocations, our prayers, and our meditations, our matrix grows and becomes more powerful. Once something is formed in the realms of cause, nothing can prevent it from eventually manifesting in the world of effects, which is the physical plane of Earth. The only variable is how long that will take, and that is up to you and me and the rest of awakening humanity. The Earth is subject to the laws of physics, and there is a factor that we learn about in quantum mechanics that determines when the changes we are invoking and praying for will manifest in the physical world of form. That factor is called the critical mass. Everything is comprised of atomic and subatomic particles and waves of intelligent energy that are vibrating at various frequencies. The negative things manifesting in our lives are a result of the heavy and discordant energy that we misqualified in the past through our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions that were not based in love. The positive things manifesting in our lives are the result of the positive, harmonious thoughts, feelings, words, and actions we expressed in the past that were based in love. In order to change the negative things that are happening in our lives into positive things, We need to raise the vibration of energy that is manifesting in negative ways and transmute it back into frequencies of light. This unstoppable shift occurs when the negative energy reaches a critical mass of the higher frequency of light. The fastest and most powerful frequency of light available for transmuting negativity back into light is the violet flame of God's infinite perfection. This particular gift from our Father, Mother, God is designed to help each of us reach a critical mass of positive energy faster than any other frequency of light. So why are we not seeing more tangible results in the physical plane? It is because we often give up before we invoke enough light to reach the critical mass of whatever it is we are striving to co-create. A very common scenario is that when we awaken and become aware of how powerful our creative faculties of thought and feeling are, our I Am presence inspires us to change our behavior. We are prompted to control our thoughts and feelings, and we are motivated to invoke the violet flame so we can transmute the negative things manifesting in our life. We decide to think positively and to control our emotions, and we focus our attention on what we want to manifest in our life. Sometimes, after what seems like a valiant effort, we continue to experience some of the same old patterns and problems. That is when we often become discouraged and lose trust in our ability to change our life. When this happens, we usually give up and stop trying to improve our situation. We no longer invoke the violet flame, and we stop doing our affirmations. This causes us to regress back into our old negative behavior patterns. We start dwelling on our fears, problems, and challenges instead of using our thoughts and feelings to empower our goals, our hopes, and our dreams. As a result of that relapse, things in our life get worse, and our situation appears to be even more hopeless. This phenomenon occurs because we stopped invoking the light before we reached a critical mass of whatever it is that we were trying to co-create. So what do we have to do to reach that unstoppable shift of critical mass? We have to keep on keeping on, even when it seems as though we are not making progress, because that is never the case. There are many variables that determine when something reaches critical mass. But to make things easy, the beings of light said for us to think of critical mass as 51% of the energy, vibration, and consciousness of whatever it is that we want to co-create. When an electron is increasing in vibration, and 51% of its vibration reaches the higher frequency, an unstoppable shift occurs, and the remaining 49% of the electron is instantly absorbed into the new vibration, and the entire electron ascends into the higher frequency. So, for example, if we are striving to co-create prosperity, 51% of our energy, vibration, and consciousness from all time frames and dimensions, both known and unknown, must be vibrating with the frequency of prosperity consciousness instead of poverty consciousness. When we reach that critical mass of 51% prosperity consciousness, an unstoppable shift occurs, and nothing can prevent prosperity from manifesting in our own life. This is true for every single thing we are striving to co-create in our life. If something that we have been working toward has not manifested in our life yet, it just means that we have not reached critical mass and we must keep on keeping on with our efforts. If we don't, what we are trying to co-create will never manifest. I know it is very daunting when we realize that we have to reach a critical mass of our energy from all time frames and dimensions, both known and unknown. But miracles have taken place over the past several years, and reaching a critical mass for our positive goals is far easier than it has ever been before. For one thing, our manipulative human ego is no longer able to block our efforts, and our I Am presence is once again taking command of our life. Another critical factor is that the light of God is exponentially expanding on earth every single day. Light is infinitely more powerful than the fragmented and distorted patterns of our human miscreations. The beings of light have revealed that one person invoking the light through their I Am presence and the I Am presence of all humanity can transmute centuries worth of misqualified energy in a very short period of time. In addition to those miracles, because of the need of the hour, our Father, Mother, God have granted the Company of Heaven a sacred cosmic dispensation that allows the legions of light to amplify our efforts 1,000 times 1,000-fold every single time we add to the light of the world. We are being told from on high that this is a gift of divine grace unprecedented in any system of worlds. Even though it is impossible for us to know when we will reach that magical moment of critical mass, it could be with the very next breath we take. So the Company of Heaven is encouraging us to invoke the light of God with the enthusiasm that our goals could be reached with the very next breath, but with the heart commitment that in this eternal moment of now, we are going to keep on keeping on, no matter how long it takes. So this week, precious heart, keep on keeping on, knowing full well that the light of God is always victorious, and you are that light.
It's a joy to get to know you. It's a joy to get to know you. And I really am liking to share in your world. It's a joy to get to know you. It's a joy to get to know you. And I really sharing.
Shine a Noel and a joy to get to know you. Now, Patricia's talking about December the 12th, which we just missed, and our 1212 Catalyst Code.
Today is December 12th, and we have entered the 1212 portal, which allows our I Am presence to empower the 1212 Catalyst Codes in our fifth dimensional DNA to the next level. This 1212 portal of light has been building in momentum for over 500 years. December 12th is a powerful day in its own right, but this year, the influx of light that is bathing the earth today is exponentially intensified due to the powerful shift of vibration we experienced on November 11th, 2023, as our galaxy was breathed through the 11-11-11 portal into the full embrace of our grand central sun, Sanat and Luce. For the past 500 plus years, on December 12th, people all over the planet have been honoring the aspect of Mother Mary, known as the Virgin of Guadalupe. This collective and rhythmic focus of attention on Mother Mary, who is an exponent of our Mother God and the Divine Feminine, has been building in momentum year by year. This has created a mighty portal of light that extends from the very heart of our Father Mother God, which is the core of creation, into the heart of Mother Earth, which pulsates in the sun of even pressure, in the center of this planet. December 12th is the day of celebration that turns humanity's attention to the Divine Feminine, which is the love nature of our Mother God, anchored in every person's heart flame. 1212 is a sacred geometric code that was imprinted within the DNA of humanity by our Mother God and our I Am Presence after our fall from grace. The divine intent of this code was for it to serve as a catalyst for humanity's accelerated awakening once our I Am Presence was able to activate our 12 fifth dimensional crystalline solar strands of DNA. That DNA activation occurred on the anniversary of harmonic convergence in August of 2019. 2019 was numerically a 12 year. That empowered December 12th, 2019 with a 12-12-12 frequency of vibration. That vibration allowed every person's I Am Presence to successfully activate our dormant 1212 Catalyst Codes for the very first time. Since that time, our I Am Presence has been using our 1212 Catalyst Codes to awaken us in powerful ways it was not able to utilize prior to the activation of our 12 solar strands of DNA. The catalyst code 1212 aligns with the sacred geometry associated with our solar system. In last week's vlog, 347, we learned about how the number 12 is reflected in the various systems of worlds the Earth abides in. 12 is also reflected in the fact that we have 12 fifth dimensional solar strands of DNA, 12 fifth dimensional solar chakras, 12 solar aspects of deity, 12 constellations in our zodiac, and 12 ages in our 26,000-year precession of the equinoxes. This is why we hear so much about the power of the 12 times 12 and the number 144 or 144,000 in relation to the events associated with Earth's ascension process. The initial activation of the 1212 catalyst codes in humanity's fifth dimensional DNA was a critical step in birthing the new decade on January 1st, 2020. That activation paved the way for the multidimensional activities of light destined to be co-created by lightworkers around the world. At that time, our Father, Mother, God, and the Company of Heaven assured us that during the next 10 years, 2020 to 2030, humanity will change the course of history for Mother Earth and all her life. Information from the realms of illumined truth revealed that during this decade, humanity will develop our latent abilities through which we will literally transfigure our earthly bodies and our outer world life experiences into the heart-based patterns of perfection associated with the fifth dimensional solar new earth. We were told that this seemingly miraculous transfiguration would be accomplished through a greatly expanded collaboration between the Company of Heaven and an awakened humanity. Our Father, Mother, God said the degree of collaboration we will experience between heaven and earth during this decade has never before been attempted. Within a matter of weeks, we experienced a forced global timeout. At that time, we were told by the beings of light that regardless of the circumstances that had caused that event, this planetary pause would result in creating the space for humanity's I Am presence to be heard and to awaken each of us in ways we had not previously experienced. The beings of light said that with the success of this mass awakening, nothing would ever be the same. All we have to do is review the monumental events that have taken place since January 2020 in order to get a glimpse of what was being revealed to us. These events have been both difficult as well as life-transforming, and this is just the beginning. Now it is time for the 1212 catalyst codes within humanity's fifth dimensional DNA to be activated to the higher level. The Company of Heaven has assured us this activation will initiate the next step in the accelerated awakening taking place in the massive humanity. This 1212 activation will assist people everywhere to raise their consciousness above the effluvia of our human miscreations and the obsolete crumbling paradigms from the past. This shift of consciousness will allow humanity to far more easily tap into the patterns of perfection in the new contingency plan that is being released into the mental and emotional strata of Mother Earth through the fifth dimensional record keeper crystals now pulsating in Earth's crystal grid system of comprehensive divine love. This contingency plan contains not only the viable solutions for all of the maladies surfacing on Earth, but also exquisite heart-based patterns of perfection for the new Earth that are far beyond anything we have ever imagined. On this sacred and holy day, December 12th, 2023, in the full embrace of the eternal moment of now, every person's I Am presence is amplifying the activation of our 1212 catalyst codes to the next level. This 1212 activation is being sealed at a cellular level within the core of purity in every atomic and subatomic particle and wave of humanity's earthly bodies. This activation will prepare humanity, the elemental kingdom, and Mother Earth to complete the last phase of the intensified assimilation of light we are being blessed with from the solar system of our grand central sun, Sanat and Luce. This assimilation process will be completed during the December 21st solstice. That will be the final step in preparing for the birth of the new year, 2024, and the life-transforming events we will co-create through the unified efforts of heaven and earth. Our I Am presence is reminding us that we are being blessed with unprecedented opportunities during the 40-day period we are now in the midst of, which began on the November 11th and will be completed on December 21st solstice. Our I Am presence will give us every assistance if we simply ask. This intuitive inner guidance will happen quite naturally when we go within and take the time to listen. Now, please let these words resonate within the divinity of your heart flame. Still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. And so it is. God bless you, dear one.
Nothing on tonight on Infinity Spiritual Center, or our Thursday night things are finished. But Saturday we have our last Spirit Fest for the whole year. So you can come along and get a reading, healing, get some presents for Christmas or whatever. And then we're going to be open on Christmas Eve as well, if you need to come and get some presents for special people.
I'm Barry, it's been The Wise Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste. Masalam, may our God go with you.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.